And a welcome to each one. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. What a wonderful God we have. God that has interest in each of our lives. He orders our lives. Sometimes in the dark times in my life, we wonder where God is in the dark times. May we claim the promises of God we find in His Word. And I'm thankful for brothers and sisters this morning to help us on our journey, because all of us need some help as we travel here below. And perhaps there is ladders that go up to heaven that we can't see this morning, our eyes that have been held from our eyes. But we know that God's angels are busy this morning ministering to our needs. And we're going to look at that this morning just a bit. You can turn it in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14 for a message this morning. I'd like to look at Jesus, his example that he's left us. And specifically his prayer life. In Mark chapter 14, we find him coming right up to the crucifixion. We're in the last 48 hours before the crucifixion. We have him, they had just partaken of the Lord's Supper. And he had told them that they were all going to be scattered from him, and that Peter was going to deny him. And that's coming up into verse 31. I'd like to start reading at verse 32. They have left the upper room and they're coming to the garden. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. We'll stop reading there. The title for the message is Jesus, our perfect example in prayer. And here we have, in this narrative, we have Jesus, truly a man, a true human being. He had a certain personality that grew and developed. One that day by day and week by week, it unfolded. And scripture tells us that Jesus increased in stature and in favor with God and with man. Jesus was truly man, just like you and I were this morning. Sure, there were moments in Jesus' life that had great significance. Think about the Holy Spirit that came upon him when he was baptized in the form of a dove. You think about the temptations he had in the wilderness for 40 days. The devil attacked him. You think about that sermon that he preached on the mount that's recorded for us. Think about the transfiguration when he was changed into glory and Moses and Elijah came down and talked with him. Those were important moments in the life of Christ. But yet here he was as a true man. Here he was with the men that loved him. These 11 men were with him. They had just enjoyed the Lord's Supper together. And here they were in the last 48 hours before Jesus was crucified. And we have Gethsemane and the cross and the resurrection just around the corner. We have Matthew and Mark and Luke recording this story for us, and most of them are almost exactly the same, a bit more details in a couple of them. But what would God want us to learn from this story about Jesus? Because Christ was here to leave us an example that we should walk in his steps and follow after him. And perhaps this moment in the garden, this moment in Gethsemane is maybe the most challenging picture. And maybe it's the most magnificent one. This is God, the Son of God. And the Son had told his disciples, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But yet, here he was. And what was he doing? That's the first point I'd like to point out to us was that our Lord was praying. We find he prayed three times. He prayed three times. And you say, well, why is that worth our time reflecting on? What's worth thinking about that for? And as somebody said, prayer is impotence grasping at omnipotence. And here is Jesus. And he's praying. As a man in true reality of he recognized his helplessness and his weakness. And he was reaching out for help. He needed help. His prayer is the greatest indication of his own sense of dependence upon his heavenly Father. He realized his desperate need for help in this situation. He couldn't handle it by himself. It was looming in front of him. He knew what was coming. The cross was coming. He said, I can't carry this obstacle. It's too big. The mountain's too high. I cannot climb it. I cannot carry my own load. It was coming nearer and nearer. And this morning, may we drive it home to the deepest sense of our consciousness, that thought that we are dependent. We are dependent in every area of our life. And being dependent this morning is not a sign of sinfulness. It's a sign of being created. We have been created. We need help. It's a sign of being human. It's a reminder to us that as Jesus, he couldn't bear his own load. He couldn't carry his own load. He couldn't climb that mountain. He couldn't overcome that trial except for with strong tears and crying, the Hebrew writer tells us, that he offered up to God. Then how can you and I go day by day in our pilgrimage here and say to God, Father, it's okay. I can handle this day just fine. I'm strong enough. And we never come to God with a desperate need of help and of our dependence upon God, because we sort of got this all put together. Here is Christ. He's praying. And in his praying, he's saying that there's no way in my humanness that I can carry this cross. There's no way I can bear the nails. There's no way I can bear the thrust of the spear. We have a praying Savior, the incarnate Son of God. Yet he is praying. This was the man who spoke and the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. This is the man who spoke and the widow's son was raised back to life again. This was the man who spoke and the 10 lepers were healed from their incurable disease. This man, this is who this man was. And yet he is praying. He's praying. And so this morning, it doesn't matter what your position in the church is. It doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. It doesn't matter how much experience you have. It doesn't matter what your gifts are. There's no way that you and I will ever arrive at a state of being spiritually independent of God. There's no way we can face any day without prayer. Do I sense that in my life? I have failed in that. Can we carry any burden without prayer? Can we climb any mountain without prayer? And I'm going to suggest to us this morning that the only way that you and I will be able to survive as a Christian in America in 2024 is by being keenly aware of my own weakness and of my own need for help. Because we have grown up in a culture that we figure things out ourselves and we're very capable, we think. And we figure out ways to make things happen. And so this morning, every load is too big. Every obstacle is too great. Every obligation is too heavy. Every temptation is too strong. Every burden is too much. Every privilege is too much. Do I sense that? Here is Jesus. He has never failed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. And he probably had more right than any other creature to pretend that he was independent because of who he was. I pretend that pretty often. Do you see the earnestness in which he was praying? He doesn't just pray, does he? In verse 35, he says he falls on the ground. Have you ever fallen on the ground because you were so desperate for your need of help? And you're crying out for help? Here is Christ in his weakness, grasping out to his all-powerful Father. He needs help. He needed help. He has his disciples. He took them with him. He said, I need to go pray. And he left some behind and took 3 with him a little farther. And then he went even farther. He had to pray. I must pray. And in that agony, in the desperation of his need, he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. As the spiritual struggle came on him, and he prays. Have you ever prayed like that? Out of desperation, out of a keen sense that you need more than you ever need Christ and God in your life than ever before. Have you ever felt that sense of dependence upon a higher being, your creator, your father. The next thing I would like to draw your attention to is that Jesus prayed for something in this passage, in this prayer that was not God's will to give to him. Take away the cup. Take away the cup. Take away the hour. We have the Son in earnest desperation praying to the Father for something that was not the Father's will to give him. And sometimes this morning, in our own souls, we get into great distress and we begin praying earnestly for something that God does not intend to give to us. And we wonder why God's not hearing our prayers, why he's not answering our prayers, and we pray for things for a long time. Is God listening? Do you remember that great apostle Paul? He had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed 3 times as well. He laid out all the reasons and arguments why the thorn should be taken away. It kept him awake at night. It distracted him. It buffeted him. It hurt him. It troubled him. And he prayed, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. I mean, what an unspiritual man Paul was. Shouldn't he have known that this was God's will for him? It was a messenger of Satan, but God allowed it to come to Paul. This was God's plan for Paul. God had given it to him. But there's nothing hinted at that at all. And here in this passage, we have the Creator who had become created, the Almighty who had become weak, the Upholder of all things who has become independent. Who has become dependent. And here he is, he's shrinking back from what he knows is the will of his Father. And what he fears may be God's will for him. And he's praying, Father, is there any possibility of another will? I'll take the cup, but can there something be different in the cup? Can the contents be different? And sometimes we say, well, if I knew what God's will is, then it would be easy for me. And sometimes we struggle with knowing what God's will is and say, well, only if I knew what God's will was, well, then we could go forward. But you know, the whole glory of the picture in Gethsemane is that God's will is sometimes not easy. It wasn't easy for our Savior. It wasn't easy for the Apostle Paul, the will of God. There was no use of saying to Paul, well, now, Paul, now you know this is God's will. Just accept it. Move on. This is God's will for you. It'll be okay. But no, it hurt. It really hurt. And there was pain. Paul suffered because of this thorn. So this morning, don't feel bad if God's will this morning for you is difficult for you, if it's painful for you. Don't feel guilty of that. Let's not be critical of brothers and sisters who are in a moment where they find life really hard and difficult and painful. It's easy to be critical of those people. Just accept where you are and just move on. It's part of life. But no, it's hard. It's hard. People suffer. It hurts. God's will sometimes is very hard. It was hard for Jesus.
And it's not surprising this morning that when we're in these hard things that we cry out to Father, to our Father, Lord, can you somehow intervene? Can you somehow change the circumstances? Can you somehow make a miracle happen?
Here we have Jesus asking for a different cup, just something different.
He throws himself onto the ground. He's just longing for the cup to pass. It was so hard. Here he was, the author and finisher of our faith. He is God's greatest definition to us of a man. Do you take comfort in that this morning? I find great comfort in that. Jesus didn't find God's will easy for him. He found it very, very hard. And he didn't find automatic comfort in the fact of the knowledge that this is God's will. That didn't comfort him in that moment. This was God's will. It still hurt. He didn't just take it in stride. And so we have him. He's praying earnestly. He prayed 3 times. And we also see that he's praying submissively. In verse 36, he prays, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." This is really deep. Here we have two wills, and they're not exactly the same. We have the will of the Son and we have the will of the Father. And the Son was crying out for the Father to change his will.
But yet he prays, "Not my will, but what you will." There's submission.
It's not a submission that pretends that this is what I want, or since I know what the will is, I'm okay with it. It wasn't a pretending submission. It was a frank acknowledgement that this God's will is so painful for me right now. It hurts so bad. It really does. He's hurting. Father, Abba, Father, this hurts me so bad. But your will be done. Your will be done. It's not how I would have arranged things. I would have taken a different way. This was the Son of God praying this.
And so this morning, as you bear the load, and as you move through the pain, maybe you hear a voice telling you that maybe you're not right with God. Because God's will should be sweet to you. You should find joy in the will of God. You should find joy in serving the Lord. Well, sometimes the will of God will bring tears and crying and pain and suffering. So don't think for a moment that something's wrong in your life at this point. This is God's plan for you, and it's hard. It's going to hurt. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. Did Jesus enjoy going to Calvary? Did the Apostle Paul enjoy the thorn in his flesh? No, they did not enjoy that at all. It was far from enjoyment. It was painful. Very, very painful. But they were submissive to it. They were submissive to it. Paul said that God's grace was sufficient for him. He didn't pretend that now it didn't hurt. It still hurt him. And there's times in his life, I'm sure he just wished that thing would just disappear, but there it was. He cried out to God, "I need you. I need you. I need your help. This thing is still hurting me."
not my will, but thy will be done. And so we have our Savior. He's praying earnestly. He was praying submissively. Did God answer his prayer? Turn back to Luke chapter 22 for one detail that is missed here in Mark, that Mark did not include for us. Luke 22 and verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. An angel. A holy angel. One who flew through the realm of light at his Lord's command. And on this particular day, as the angels gathered before the throne of God for their orders for the day, the Father tells this angel, Go to my son. Go to my son. You will find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. You will find him laying face down on the ground. You will find him broken. You will find him crying. You will find him weak. Go to him. Go to him. Was that astonishing instructions for an angel? To go to his creator, to his Lord, who was in the garden, on his face, crying out for help. His orders for the day were to go and to encourage your creator. Go speak words of strength to him. Go and comfort him. Speak words of consolation to him. Never was there a mission so amazing as this one. So that angel flew from the glory of heaven down to the Garden of Gethsemane to meet with the Son of God and to comfort him in his deepest distress. How did he do it? We're not told. We can only imagine. Perhaps he told Jesus, "Your Father has sent me." And he says to tell you that I love you. He says to tell you that he's well pleased with the way he's lived his life. He says to tell you that you are his beloved. And he was pleased to hear your prayer. And I've come to comfort you. And so we have. What an honor it must have been for an angel, for this angel, to comfort his master and his Lord. And so this morning, we thought about the ladder with the angels ascending and descending. And I'm here to tell you this morning that still is reality today. And so if you're in a tough spot this morning, cry out to God in your desperation for help. And he will send an angel to comfort you. He will not leave you alone. He will give orders to that angel. You go to this brother. You go to this sister. They need your help today. Give them something. Show them something. Bring somebody into their life to help them. They need you. And so we have God answered his prayer. God answered his prayer. God's will stayed the same. It didn't change. The cup was still there. It still hurt. But Christ was strengthened to bear up the weight of the Father's will. Well, how does our Lord, how does he return from his time of praying? His three times of praying in desperation. How do we see him coming back to his disciples? How does he return? He returns and his emotions are composed. He had prayed through. The answer had come. Was it still difficult? Yes. But he was submitted to going through with it. He had his face set as a flint. He was unwavering. And he came back to those men that were sleeping. And he said, boys, men, let's rise up now. It's time to go. My betrayer is coming. In fact, we can hear the branches, the twigs snapping. The leaves are crunching. We see the lights coming. They're coming with swords and with staves. Here they come. Let's go meet them. He was in charge. He was given directions. But just prior to this, he was face down on the ground, praying out, oh, Father, may this go away from me. But here he was, moving forward, step by step. We have him in the courts, in the Sanhedrin, before Herod, before Pilate, before Caiaphas. And there he stands, our Lord, fully composed, bearing the pain of that moment. Do you see the results of his earnest prayer? Do you see the answers that came to him? He prayed through. Could any of us stood in the place where he stood? No. Can you and I face tough things in life? Yes, we do face tough things. And so the answer that came to our Savior was blessing. And it was grace that came from his Heavenly Father. And we need that. We need the grace that comes from our Heavenly Father as we go to the doctor for a doctor's appointment, when we go for the operation, when we go for the chemo treatments, when we are recuperating. We need the grace to get through that. Have we prayed? Have we prayed through? Have we been earnest in our prayer for help? We need help with patience towards our families, towards our children. We get frustrated sometimes. Well, do you ever sense your desperation that I need grace today? I need patience today. I need more love today. I'm desperate for it. Please, please. The children stay with us. But do you find grace to relate properly to them? And so whatever we face, maybe your week this week looks big and you wonder, how on earth am I ever going to get through this week? Well, maybe you can't get through this week, but pray. Pray, Father, I need you today. I need you all week so bad. And God will. He will send grace to help you. He's a gracious Father. He's a gracious Father. Sure, the hard things may stay. The difficult things may stay. You may still cry. There may still be pain. There may still be suffering. But there'll be grace to go step by step, moment by moment. He'll be faithful. And so this morning, may you and I be encouraged to follow our perfect Savior. As he prayed, so may I pray. As he recognized his dependence upon God, may I recognize my dependence upon God. May I submit myself to the will of my Father. And by doing that, may I find grace to carry through whatever comes, no matter how painful it is, no matter how much it hurts. God will extend to us grace to make it through every moment of our life. So this year, sense your need of God. I need God's help in lots of ways to help me to be pure, to help me to be a good husband, to help me to be a good father, a good church leader. Help me to be a good employee and whatever else may come in my life. I need a higher power in my life to help me. Because when I don't sense my need of that, the mistakes happen and the discouragement comes. May God help me see the importance of crying out to my Father for my help and for my grace. Let's kneel for prayer.